This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hoof, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, my. Once again, that's me, Rick Moore, here on Sunday, August 9th. Thanks so much to everybody for joining in. I think we got a pretty powerful show lined up for you today. Sit down, stretch your muscles, get those fingers ready to dial up 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. Not only to the Harrisonburg, Lexington, Lynchburg, Richmond people, but a special shout out to the Levinson 94.7 crowd. And while we're thanking people, let me thank the folks at Salad Creations for allowing us to be on the air today. 110 5th Street in Charlottesville, just off the east end of the downtown mall. At Salad Creations, you can choose from Caesar and Cobb salads, as well as salads made with free-range chicken and turkey and even wild Alaskan salmon. Or you can create your own from four varieties of greens, 40 toppings, and over a dozen dressings. Fresh is fabulous at Salad Creations. You can find them online at saladcreations.net. All right, let's test all the buttons, check everybody here in the studio. We're going to be talking about surviving cancer with integrative medicine as part of the way to do that. I think we're going to jump into a variety of methodology here and things that are important. First over, all the way on my left, I'm going to test my pronunciation skills out early. It's Susan Blahowiak. How are you, Susan?
I'm fine, thanks.
And thank you for coming in. Susan is a patient, a survivor, and we'll get into that a little bit more personally. We have Diane Cole. How are you, ma'am?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
Thank you for coming in. And we have Chaplain Gordon Putnam.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Chaplain, you're not at church today?
There's a number of different ways to go to worship.
And I agree with that all the time. And people always say, oh, I'd listen, but I can't. You're at church. Or after they hear one show, they often say, it's a good thing that most of the people who might listen to this program are at church instead. The one time I managed to get a minister on the program, we had to pre-record it because of his Sunday. But thank all three of you for coming in, regardless of the time and what you might normally be doing from 11 until 12 on Sundays. And we have, again, Diane Cole, who is a manager of education and support services for University's Cancer Center Integrative Medicine. Is that correct?
That's right.
And so you have quite a long title on your business card. I don't know how people, I don't know how you can print all that. Chaplain Gordon Putnam, coordinator of support services, and of course the chaplain for the integrative medicine vision, and then Susan Blahowiak, who will be talking about her cancer. All right, let's jump right into things. Integrative medicine, I'm curious as to what integrative medicine actually is. It has an unusual sound. Diane?
Well, integrative medicine is really taking all of the modalities that are not necessarily considered a part of what we see as medicine in the traditional sense, like with as it pertains to cancer, that might include surgery, radiation, or chemotherapy. Well, integrative medicine takes all of the things that patients can do in addition to that that helps them with their quality of life. It can help them feel better. It might even help with some of the outcomes of how things turn out in the end for them. So some great examples of integrative medicine might include mindfulness meditation or guided imagery, hypnosis, art therapy, acupuncture, therapeutic touch, qigong, yoga, dance. The list goes on, and actually over the years I've learned that there are more modalities that can be added to this list almost on a daily basis. But it really is the kind of thing that we can do for ourselves on a daily basis that is not necessarily what a physician tells us to do, but we know that it definitely helps us feel better.
All right. Some of the you call them modalities, I think, that methods for those of us who aren't quite as academically inclined anymore.
Yeah, both of those
are
right.
It's been a long time since I graduated from UVA. Integrative medicine. All the things that you listed make me think of, I guess, what some would call the Eastern approach, holistic methods. And this, is it a department? What's the proper term for integrative medicine? I mean, are you a department at the university in the hospital?
Well, I would say, first of all, that you're right. We do consider this a part of what we call Eastern medical care as opposed to Western medical care. And we are not a department, but we are a service that is provided within our education support services that is within the cancer center.
So do you get a 100% support from the rest of the hospital? Because I think for many people, if I am, and it's not just the medical system, it's not just a doctor, but if I were to say that I had hurt my back, there are many people who would say, oh, chiropractor. Some who would say acupuncture.
Right.
And
yeah.
Several people who don't believe in acupuncture are going to laugh and say you're wasting your money.
Mm-hmm.
If I said guided imagery, I would think that the more people spend more time involved in Western medicine, which, and I don't even know how to identify that, but I'm thinking of surgeries and drug use and that sort of thing, the more people would laugh at me saying that I was going to attempt to heal through that other method, through the Eastern method. You know, people have this vision in their heads of an old Asian man with his long beard, telling you these are the herbs that you should take and your back will feel better. Does everyone in the hospital support the use of the integrative medicine?
Well, I would say that the support as it pertains to healthcare professionals has evolved and is continuing to evolve over the years. And I think that probably Gordon and Susan can speak to this as well based on their experience. Certainly when we first started integrating many of these practices into the way we provide services, there were a number of people who were skeptical, and I would say for some, for a very good reason, because the studies that support these, as integrative medicine has evolved, those studies have evolved as well. And although in the beginning there weren't necessarily a lot of research studies that showed benefit, now we're seeing that there are many, many more. And as our healthcare professionals begin to learn about those, and that's part of what our responsibility is teaching the benefit of these and what research is showing, what the benefit is and how they can be helpful to specific populations, then certainly without question it is becoming more and more comfortable in making referrals to our practitioners and allowing our patients to really utilize these services that, even if there doesn't show to be tremendous benefit, we know there's no harm in doing it. So a lot of it has to do with our ability to be able to just get the word out. And now we're finding that a lot of our healthcare professionals actually utilize these services as well for themselves. And the more we see patients come in and talk to their healthcare professionals about what a big difference, you know, nutrition or yoga or being able to really look at the spiritual components of how they're seeing themselves get through this is beneficial to them, the more our healthcare professionals are convinced that this is definitely something that we should be doing. We went from really not getting a lot of referrals to our program to now almost being overwhelmed with referrals. So we have seen that as an evolution.
How old is the program?
Our clinical services started in 2004.
Five years. I guess I would have expected much more, just based on going to the website and seeing all the offerings. And
yeah. Well, we have been doing conferences and educational programs since 1999. And so we've been providing education to the public since then, but we didn't actually incorporate those services into our care in the hospital until about 2004.
Real quick, what's the website address for those who either want to play along with us now or read about it later?
So you can go on www.uvacancer.com. And then click on Patients and Families. And under Patients and Families, you'll see a little icon that says Integrative Medicine. And that tells you all about our services and our program and what we do.
We are talking about surviving cancer with the help of Integrative Medicine from UVA's Cancer Center. Chaplain Gordon Putnam is here. You've just been hearing from Diane Cole, who's the Manager of Education and Support Services with the Integrative Medicine. I keep wanting to say department, and I probably will through the hour. And Susan Blahowiak, who's a patient. Susan, basics. What is your cancer? How long have you had it? And then what does your doctor think about you using this more Eastern approach to go with what I assume is a Western form with chemotherapy, et cetera?
I was initially diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer in August of 2002. I had a lump in my left breast and a spot in the middle of my spine. And I had was not being treated down here at UVA. I was up north at National Cancer Institute up there and had received treatment, surgery, chemo, radiation for both of those events. And following that experience, I had numerous other things that side effects from the treatment itself that showed up and surfaced, and which really caused me to explore what else is out there for me in terms of treatment. Because at the cancer center where I was being treated, they treat cancer, and which is wonderful. And I have wonderful experience with my doctors, and have a living proof that the conventional Western traditional treatment that I received is working.
When you say that they treat cancer, what I heard, if I heard it correctly, is that they don't treat the person. Is that what you meant to say, or did I?
In a way, yes, I did. With all best intentions, the intent was to treat the person in the sense that they had a group of physicians that would all review my medical history and make a joint diagnosis and a treatment plan that I was thoroughly involved in. The piece that was missing for me was when I didn't have a tumor that needed active treatment. Those are my words, though those are not the professional terms, I'd imagine. I was pretty much left on my own to sort it out. And when I had a recurrence in 06, and the tumor in my spine had grown back and I had to have surgery for it. The surgery was successful, yet I was left with a great deal of pain. And the word survivorship took on new meaning in terms of how do I live my life with this precarious notion of it can come back any time and I'm in a lot of pain and now what? And when I would talk with my physicians about that, there's a great deal of empathy and compassion, but not necessarily an outlet for how to live my life. One of the recommendations I had received was to live your life in 3-month increments, knowing that within that period of time it could recur. And so I tried to do that with varying degrees of success and comfort. And that's what really started my quest to look for something else that was out there and how do I manage to live my life and live it without having cancer be on the forefront. Because I felt it was swallowing me up rather than having me have control over my life.
Did you move down here just department? It keeps popping to mind. But did you move down here just for this program?
Primarily, yes. I had, after receiving the diagnosis and talking with my physicians, I'd had some complications with the surgery where I had also had a mild stroke. And so I felt the current treatment I was getting was wonderful for my cancer, but not for the rest of me. And so I had started to look elsewhere to see what other forms of therapy could support that, since it wasn't cancer that was really causing the pain or the discomfort. And so when I was looking through, I started with the National Cancer Institute centers and had come across the integrative medicine department at several of the institutes, not all of them. And UVA was on the East Coast. I was on the East Coast, and I went to their website and became smitten, and my head filled with all of the imagery. This is before I learned about guided imagery, of all the things that could help me to be healthier and stronger for this next chapter in my life and of the disease.
Susan Blahowiak, surviving breast cancer here as we talk about surviving cancer, especially with integrative medicine from UVA's cancer department. Diane Cole here, Susan Blahowiak, and Chaplain Gordon Putnam. Chaplain, to me, when I see or hear chaplain at the hospital, that's an end result, or maybe a beginning. If for some reason the chaplain stops by for the birth of the child, or otherwise, the image that I have is the chaplain coming by for last wishes, sort of thing. What's your role in this at the Integrative Medicine Group?
Well, I think how we started this is a good example of how we're trying to change the perception of what we're dealing with. You've mentioned that Susan is a cancer patient. And I think a better way to understand that is she's a person who happens to have cancer. It's a part of her life that we really have to see people as whole people. And the cancer may not be the major issue. And so my role is not at the end of life, even though that can be a significant part. At the cancer center, it's a very minor part. It's helping people to live their lives fully. And how do you do that? How do you not let the cancer control your life? How do you live your life to the fullest? How not to let death or the idea that death is coming stop you from living each day? For each of us can only live a day at a time. I've talked to people who thought they were going to die shortly, and somebody else very close to them dies before they do. You got to live a day at a time and to focus in on those end things doesn't always help.
Do you think that the image that goes with the chaplain in the hospital, do you have anything to overcome there?
Well, I think, it's just you go in and you have conversations. People all have pre-existing images and understandings. A lot of people don't even understand what a chaplain does or what their background is, and so you've got to kind of redefine that for people. And I've walked into, a number of years ago, I walked into an ICU, and the person looked up to me and says, "Go away, go away, I'm not dying." And I said, "Fine, that's okay." You know, there's a lot of different ways that people respond. It's more a matter of how am I going to respond back to allow that relationship to build and to help that person then figure out how they're going to live their life.
11:18 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about surviving cancer, a variety of methods to do so through the integrative medicine group at UVA's Cancer Society. Chaplain Gordon Putnam here, Diane Cole, and a person with cancer, Susan Blahowiak. Let me give you the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs in the mid-90s. Clear tonight, lows 65 to 70, even warmer in Richmond. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs again in the mid to upper 90s. fair to partly cloudy across the WNRN listening area. 87 in the Valley, 85 in Lynchburg, 89 in Richmond. Beautiful but warm, 87 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's thank the folks at Blue Ridge Graphics for supporting us today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. WNRN wants to remind you that Piedmont Virginia Community College's fall semester registration is going on right now. At PVCC, you can be ready for a technology or healthcare career in just 2 years. Classes begin August 24th. You can get more info and register online at pvcc.edu or dial them on the phone, 977-3900. Opportunity, access, excellence. That's Piedmont Virginia Community College. And you know another reason we're here? Is because of folks like Ashley Franz and Gary Grant and Ann Evans, all who supported us in the fund drive this past spring. Also because of program underwriters like the ones you hear from this hour, as well as Blue Ridge Eco Shop or Heinz Musitronics. So stay tuned. Tell a friend about the Wake Up Call and all the other programs you enjoy on WNRN, and be sure to support us in the upcoming fall fund drive this September. All right, back in action. As we talk about surviving cancer and the program, integrative medicine over at the university. Diane, insurance question. Is this covered by basic insurance?
Most integrative medicine modalities are not, although we're finding that that's changing as these modalities become more and more proven in the research, and we have learned that insurance companies have learned that they are, in fact, beneficial. Most people know that chiropractic care is covered by many health insurances now, and acupuncture for a lot of the folks in the community are now being covered for those services as well. And so I think that this is also something that has evolved and is evolving over the years. Certainly, one of the biggest challenges that we have in providing these services is that most of them are not paid for by insurance. And so they come out of the health, the patient's pocket. So it's a challenge.
Now, you mentioned a wide variety of different programs available through the integrative medicine bundle as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Toss those out again for me. You don't have to give them all, but...
Well, there are lots of examples. What we provide at UVA is nutrition, massage therapy.
All right, nutrition. Let's
okay.
start there.
All right.
I mean, how does nutrition work? Because it seems to me that depending on the type of cancer you have, almost everyone is taking some form of chemotherapy, correct?
Many are.
So wouldn't there just be nutrition on here's what you do because would it matter what type of cancer you have as opposed to what you should be eating?
Well, it's a great question because what many times is recommended during treatment could look a little bit different after treatment. So some examples of those would be whether the patient is gaining or losing weight. We have some great research that shows us that based on the diagnosis, you may do one or the other. Many breast cancer patients, and we don't really know right now the direct mechanism for this, but many breast cancer patients tend to gain weight during treatment. And what we also know is that because of the type of treatment and the location of head and neck cancers, that most of those folks lose a large amount of weight during treatment because they're getting radiation to their head and neck and they're having a difficult time eating, and they're losing somewhere up to 10 or more percent of their body weight. So what the dietitian is going to recommend to each of those populations is going to be different during treatment than what it might be after treatment. We also know that some patients are really interested in maintaining their health during treatment, and that that may, in fact, look different because the toll that chemotherapy or radiation may take and what the body needs during that period of time can be very different than when they're not receiving treatment. So it can be disease-specific, and there are some general guidelines that can be helpful for everyone as well.
Susan, you mentioned that you are surviving breast cancer. How did you find, I mean, what was your initial reaction to this when you found out? I mean, did you, you know, a regular visit to the doctor told you that you had a lump, and so you're already sort of mindset on, oh my gosh, what might this be?
No, I was completely naive and in shock. I had been running in my neighborhood. I had large amount of woods, and I had come back and had showered and found this lump, which I thought was a jigger bite, and didn't think anything of it other than that it really didn't go away, and I just assumed that's what it was. And I was talking with my parents. My father is a medical professional, and they both had said, you need to get that checked out, and I really thought, to humor them, I would just get it checked out. It would give them their peace of mind because I didn't think it was anything. And when I went to my OB, he said, no, we really need to look at that. And we had a very good rapport, and I was joking with him and thought he looked very serious, and that was pretty mysterious, and what could this be? And he said, you know, not to worry, and let's get a mammogram right away. And so he said, but if the radiologist comes out and wants to do anything, tell him no. And I just thought that was really an odd thing for him to say, but didn't make any, it didn't register. And when I had the mammogram, I came out, and my OB was there, and he hugged me. And I looked at him, and I said, you just hugged me. Are you okay? And I will never forget the look on his face. And he said, you need to come back for another test tomorrow. And I said, well, I didn't get good films. I can do it again. And I think it must have been a Charlie Brown episode of wah, 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 because I don't really recall much of what he said other than, it's suspicious. And I just kept repeating back to him, suspicious, you look so sad, and not really having any clue what it was. And then he said, he gave me my films and said to come back tomorrow. And I came home and told my husband, huh, something strange, something suspicious. And we joked about it. And I went to the internet and I Googled to the images to match my film with what I might be able to find on the internet to see if I could figure out what he meant by suspicious. And I saw that it could be cancer. And I thought, no, because the likelihood of that is slim to none. Most people don't get cancer. And if they do, it's initial stages. And I was tech savvy enough at the time to try to match up images and thought, huh, wouldn't that be kind of interesting if I found what I have? And my friends who were also medical professionals said, no, 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 it's never going to happen. And the next day I had a biopsy, and 3 days later, on August 27th, I got the call that said.
You tell this story with a smile on your face and even a light heart.
Who knew?
In your voice. I mean, I
it was not the end of my world.
979-0919 if you want to call and make a question or have a comment for the program. Susan Blachowiak here telling her tale as a person with cancer and surviving breast cancer at this point, because that
everything appears to be stable.
3 years ago? Is that what you...
I had in 06, correct.
Okay. I think that's a good example of that her life was much more than the cancer.
Chaplain Gordon Putnam, place in the path of cancer do you usually roll in? I mean, are you there to give the hug, you know, early on and play that role?
It really depends on a lot of different things. One of the things I do in the cancer center, in the infusion center where people are getting chemotherapy, is that I go around and just make what I call cold calls. Just go in and say, hi, how you doing? I'm trying to break monotony for the day because people are there sometimes 6-7 hours. Other times, nurses will call me and ask me to see somebody because they're upset, having a difficult time. Other times, I try to visit somebody who might be new. Sometimes a doctor may call and say, I'd like you to see this patient. They're going through some things. Others may ask me to talk to people who are just having some spiritual issues. They're wondering why this is happening or where is God. And so there's a lot of different places that I end up connecting with people.
One of the things that we do at UVA with our team, our integrative medicine team, is we have regular meetings of the healthcare professionals, and we discuss patients within those meetings. And sometimes one of the healthcare professionals will have a conversation with a patient that will indicate that they could really benefit from one of the other services. And so Gordon gets a fair number of referrals from others on our team who've had a conversation about spirituality or how a patient feels about their life. And we know that the patient can benefit from having that kind of conversation. And referrals to other aspects of our program happen that way as well. It's really being able to look at what a healthcare professional's experience has been of that patient's cancer experience and how we might be able to help them the most, and then fold people into that as we think are best. And the patient can choose that as well.
11:30 on the wake-up call. Diane Cole, Manager of Education and Support Services at UVA's Cancer Center and the Integrative Medicine. Chaplain Gordon Putnam here as well. Susan Pohowiak, who is surviving cancer. Let me give a shout-out to the folks at Alt Energy for helping us be on the air today. Alt Energy of Charlottesville, designing and installing solar energy systems in Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Alt Energy solar systems are now practical and reliable and can pay for themselves in just a few years while reducing your carbon footprint today. You can also make a difference by replacing incandescent bulbs with compact fluorescents and having the kids turn off the lights when they leave the room. More can be found at altenergyincorporated.com. Chaplain, you get a fair number of calls. Do you see a lot of calls where dealing with the cancer is challenging someone's otherwise strong religious beliefs?
I think that can happen. Let me try to define what a chaplain is in comparison to a clergy or a faith leader.
And that's great, because I have visions of you as my minister.
Yeah. A clergy person, a faith leader, is one who works with a group that have similar beliefs, trying to help them understand their belief. What does that mean to them? Educational and so forth. Using their belief, their understanding, to help them live their lives. A chaplain's role is to help the person themselves deal with their own beliefs. Not my beliefs, but their beliefs, their faith. So it's a much different place to be. I'm trying to listen to the person and allow them to understand their own faith and how that's going to help them. So that's my role. Now, some people are going to have troubles with their faith. Sometimes I find that people who have a stronger religious belief have more problems, because all of a sudden this crisis has challenged what they've been taught. My role is not to kind of change that, but to help them try to understand that. And at times, it's to go back to their own clergy person and deal with it. I can deal with some of them myself because I understand the religion. Others, I won't be able to, but help facilitate them getting to the person they need to get to. Or if it's just a personal problem, to either go to a psychologist or go to somebody who can help them with whatever that challenge is for them.
Am I understanding it properly? It sounds almost like a mental health counselor whose specialty is religiously based.
Our psychologist and I work very closely together, and we're very similar. We have different educational backgrounds. She has a different set of ways that she works with people, but there's a great deal of similarity between us. I have a little more flexibility because I'm sort of freelancing in the cancer center in many ways, that way, where she does more individual counseling. So it wouldn't be a stretch to talk in those secular terms also.
As a patient, I think to try to not have the cancer define me and to try to have a balance in my life, I use humor to help me cope. The daily struggles of life, family, the illness are very real and they're there. And part of the reason, well, the reason why I chose UVA in the integrative medicine department was because of all of the options I have that are going to help me heal and help me stay well and strong. When I listen to the chaplain talk about spirituality and faith, it's very much a part of the healing process for me. Each person's different, and I think each person's going to have whatever portion of their life that they attribute to faith and that healing component. The resource also available in terms of the psychological department, of the psychology department, I worked with one of the physicians in terms of guided imagery. I was struggling with some thoughts that were regulating thoughts after the stroke, and she really helped with guided imagery. Both are necessary, and for me, each aspect of the integrative medicine served a special purpose, and it was, to use a metaphor, a kid in a candy store to being able to say, well, how can I heal? What can I try today that might help make life better and easier so that I can live my life more fully, so I can be a better wife, a better mother, a better friend?
Diane, I stopped you at nutrition because that was such an easy one to pick on. And now Susan has mentioned guided imagery. Define that for me, for myself, and for the listeners is, okay, what is guided imagery? What is it? And what makes it a medicine as part of an integrative medicine group?
Well, guided imagery is the ability for a practitioner to work with a patient to use their imagination in a way that is going to be best for them. So it might include creating sights or sounds or smells, their favorite place, a place that is relaxing to them, whatever that might be. To really create sort of a daydream for them and to take them to a place that is going to be healing or that is going to accomplish whatever that goal is for that particular session. We know, and the reason that we provide guided imagery is because there's really great evidence that guided imagery in working with a healthcare professional who is well qualified, our psychologist, Dr. Laura Baum, is definitely got some great experience, is well qualified in this area, to really help the patient work through anxiety. It can help with depression. It can help them change health habits that they want to change in a way that is going to be beneficial to them. So it can help a patient, for example, better get through chemotherapy. It can help them be able to handle better the anxiety that comes when they're anticipating getting whatever kind of treatment it is. Our psychologist, Dr. Baum, can help patients who are getting, for example, radiation, and they have to sit in a very small place for a certain period of time to be able to get through that and not feel like they're just going crazy because they, if they're, especially if they're claustrophobic or if there are some issues with just being able to sit still for a period of time. It's applicable to many, many things that can be very helpful in getting a patient through treatment, as well as help them sleep at night or do the kinds of things that really affects their quality of life.
When I came down to UVA and I had my initial appointment with my physician, my oncologist in 06, this speaks to earlier when we were talking about how accessible is integrated medicine to staff or I mean to the population and how knowledgeable are they. When I came, my physician asked me, are you interested in some integrative treatments, as I was discussing my treatment plan, and I said yes. immediately, she called in five different professionals to explore what might best suit me and how it might fit. And within 2 weeks, I had calls from the other folks who had not come in to see me to try to help this journey go as smoothly as possible so that there would be a good fit within these healing opportunities and modes.
Yeah, guided imagery can come in many different ways, too. So, for example, we also have a music therapist, and you can also do guided imagery using music, which can be very beneficial, especially if the patient is specifically attuned to music. So, you know, I think Susan makes a really good point in that what works for some doesn't work for others, and that conversation around what your life experience is, what you've done before, and then what it is that is going to be most helpful to that particular patient is really important. It's not a one-size-fits-all.
11:40 on the wake-up call. As we talk about surviving cancer, specifically helping with the integrative medicine group at UVA's Cancer Center, Susan Blahowiak, a patient, a person with cancer, Diane Cole, manager of education and support services at Integrative Medicine, and chaplain Gordon Putnam, also at Support Services.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, it's The Hook's annual manual. Get the lowdown on the Charlottesville area, whether you're a newcomer or have been here a while. Find things to do, places to see or be seen. Food, sports, culture, outings, and more, even some maps. The Hook, this copy is a keeper. And support today also coming from Image Investment Institute. Is your professional image hindering your success? What impression do you leave behind? Do you instill confidence in the first few seconds of meeting someone new? You can communicate your power and gain positive attention in the workplace. The Image Investment Institute can guide you. More info can be found at investinmyimage.com. And if you're thinking about somewhere to go to eat, Irish Alley Restaurant and Pub, serving a variety of cuisine for lunch and dinner in downtown Stanton. You can dine inside or on the outdoor patio. The Irish Alley also offers a selection of local beers. Private parties of up to 40 can be accommodated at the Irish Alley, a non-smoking establishment across from the Byer Street parking lot in Stanton. And guess who just walked in? It's Patrick Allen, who's going to be doing Les Temps Perdue at noon. If French isn't your thing here at NRN, Les Temps Perdue is The Time's Gone By. And that's 80s and 90s alternative music. Tune in for it next. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only on WNRN. All right, back in action here with Diane and Susan and Chaplain Putnam. You know, Diane, we were talking about guided imagery and music therapy. And to me, that's the exact sort of methodologies, modalities.
You got it.
That someone is going to go, oh, whatever. You know, how do you, is there any numeric proof that those things work?
Well, Rick, that's a great question. And I was talking at the beginning of this session about the fact that this has evolved over time. And over the last year, a national professional organization called the Society of Integrative Oncology, which is made up of physicians and those healthcare professionals nationwide who are best known for their work and research in integrative medicine, have put together some clinical practice guidelines that really help us make determinations about what research has shown. Now, we know that there are benefits that are because of stories we've heard from patients, but these guidelines are based on research. They've looked at everything that's available, and yes, there is some great research that shows that many of these modalities are absolutely beneficial for certain populations. And these oncology practice guidelines came out specifically for the cancer population. So now when we're making a determination as to what modality we want to add to our program or that we want to see as a priority, we're able to take the clinical practice guidelines and use that as part of the decision-making process. It's very, very helpful.
Chaplain Gordon Putnam, how do you set aside your own personal feelings when you take on the role that you have of seeing so many people with such... Susan, you said that you approach this with a sense of humor, but I would think that for others, they feel sorry for you, or they feel sorry for everyone else, and it has some sense of depression and sadness to it.
Well, as you say that, I hesitant to introduce myself as a person with cancer because the sadness that goes into their face and looks back at me is very different than if I don't tell them.
Well, and we were talking before the program began about how one of you asked me what made me think of this as a topic. And I mentioned a friend being tested for breast cancer twice now within the year. And when I said she didn't, you wiped your forehead as though, whew, well, you know, good. So even yourself, you had some. For you, is it just for others and not for yourself?
I can't explain it. All I know is that, or one of the things that I've learned for me is you can't compare pain. Everyone's got something, whether it's cancer, whether it's... I have family members who suffer debilitating migraines. Whether it's a health issue or an emotional loss or a personal loss or a struggle that's larger than life, everyone has pain. My cancer, I want to go back. I know this is a different route than what you were saying, but when you ask, you know, do these things work, integrative medicine? Metastatic breast cancer currently isn't curable. I am not looking for a cure. I'm looking for the best quality of life that I can have. And what are you measuring? Are you measuring, you know, my personal happiness, what I can give back to others, the fact that yoga and Alexander Technique, two other alternative treatments that I use, help me feel strong enough to be here to talk with you today? That's huge. Is it measurable? Will that be in a data point? Doubt it, but that's relevant to me. In terms of the pain and the humor that accompanies the illness, I think I grew up pretty sheltered and naive and eternally optimistic, which I enjoy. I've grown more cynical, but when I stay in that space, it doesn't help me. And I look at the chaplain and the work that he does, and although I haven't worked with him directly, I've worked with other folks whose profession is faith. I draw on everything I can. It's an interfaith illness, but life is interfaith. We need to be there to support one another and to have that compassion and empathy.
So, Chaplain, how do you, as someone who I have an assumption is not at this point personally suffering from any form of cancer, certainly could be wrong there, but how do you set aside any personal reactions that you have to helping someone like Susan or any of the others there, or should you set aside such reactions?
I don't think you can ever set aside your emotions, your feelings. It's how do you keep from letting those manipulate you? And it goes back to the training of a chaplain, not only an educational training where you have to have a master of divinity or some equal part of that. There's some faith traditions that don't do those kinds of things, but you need the education. And then you go through a clinical training. And the training is not how to do something, but what's going on inside of you when you're doing it. So as a resident in chaplaincy, which is a program we have at UVA, you go out and visit patients, come back and talk about that. They don't say, how do you do this? They said, well, what were you feeling like when you met that patient who has cancer that's similar to your mother's cancer? You know, and that's the issue, is how do staff people deal with a disease or a situation that may be very similar to their own. I was always, it seemed like it always happened to me when I was working in a hospital, not with cancer, that I would have a child have something drastically happen to them, and they were the same age as my son or daughter. I had a hard time dealing with those, you know. So anybody that deals with an issue that's close to them, whether it is similar to their parent, similar to their spouse, similar to their children, friends, or a disease or a situation they've dealt with themselves, they're going to have lots of emotions. So it's a matter of how do you deal with that? And part of what I talk about is you've got to name it. So when I have a situation that's really hard, Diane's my supervisor. I'll go talk to her. I work with the chaplaincy department in the hospital, so I'll go talk to somebody there. Or I may even, for a number of years, have used a psychologist, a counselor, to go talk to make sure that my issues aren't put on to the person that I work with. The other thing that I do that's very important is I wear silly ties.
Now, I suddenly had a flash of Robin Williams in my head at that.
Rick, just to add to that, too, the team, the integrative medicine team, is very proactive in taking care of ourselves and taking care of each other. We have an administrative meeting once a month, and Gordon actually does a memorial service, and we're able to go through and talk about all of the people that we've cared for over the past month and tell them the wonderful memories, talk about the wonderful memories that we've had of that. We also do other things that where we're helping each other. We all use other members of our team for support, and that's really important. And I think all members of our team are very aware of the toll that this can take as a healthcare professional if we are not doing that. So it's very much a big part of being a part of just a really amazing group of people who do this work.
And one of the things we're going to be doing this fall, and we've done a little of it already, is we're beginning to start doing some things with all of the staff in the cancer center. It's a workshop that I'm calling Good Grief, is to help people deal with what are their issues, what are their grief issues, what's their life been like, what's their faith, their spirituality like, and how do they deal with death and dying. And it'll give staff in small groups an ability to have those conversations and work through some of those issues.
11:51 on the Wake Up Calls. We're talking about surviving cancer, specifically through integrative medicine at UVA's Cancer Center. Diane Cole, who's the manager of education at the Integrative Medicine Group, Chaplain Gordon Putnam, also from the Integrative Medicine, and Susan Blahowiak, a person with breast cancer and surviving 3 years after being initially diagnosed.
Six.
Even better. 979-0919. I see the phone's ringing. Ian's going to grab that real quick. Are there any, Diane, are there any programs for the family? Because we were talking and I said, gosh, you know, I was having a personally difficult week, and every time I thought about the upcoming program on Sunday, I said, oh, forget that. You know, nothing for me to complain about if we're going to be talking about surviving cancer. So I found it hard to reconcile my own issues for the week, and I would think that for family members, that would be equally tough.
Oh, yeah. There's no question that cancer is a family matter. It is something that the entire family has to work through. Some say that the entire family has cancer when one person is diagnosed with it. And actually, the National Coalition on Cancer Survivorship defines cancer survivorship as not just the patient surviving cancer, but also the entire family as a cancer survivor. And so the services that we provide for our patients, we provide for our families as well. Gordon many times will see families, and he actually holds a caregivers group there so that he's able to bring those people together and talk about what it is that helps them get through each day, and they're able to provide good advice for each other, and then he's able to add to that. And so it's something that is a core value of how we provide our services, and I think that we can safely say that that's probably the case for many, many cancer centers. It is something that the entire family has to work through, not just the cancer patient.
All right, everybody put your headphones on if you don't have them. We're going to take a call. Hey, caller, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Thanks for having this show. I am a person with cancer, although as we speak it could be gone. I'm not sure yet, but I am doing all kinds of, I call them complementary methods, and no allopathic methods. And one of the things I just wanted to say was I'm so glad that you are here doing work that does work in a, I guess, more traditional scenario, because it's been very lonely to find methods that that I could use that were not allopathic and get support. I'm lucky that I have found support, and thank goodness for the internet and research, but it's just been very challenging to find ways to address the cancer and heal it without using supportive doctors and family, too. I think it's something that's very challenging for family members to understand. If you don't want to take a traditional route, chemotherapy and traditional surgeries.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And can I say, just keep going. And Diane's got something to say, but I'm going to hang up and let you listen on the radio, okay?
Thank you.
Keep going.
Yeah, we know that those folks who seek complementary or integrative therapies, that there are about 10% of folks who do try what we call the alternative method, which is what I heard you describe. What I would say is that I think everyone needs to make their own decision about how they move forward with this. And that it's really important to do that and make sure that you're doing that knowing who you are and how you apply all of the information that is out there. I call that with our eyes wide open. What I do need to say is our integrative medicine program is purely integrative. And the way I describe that is what I call the best of both worlds. And that is what how we interpret how we provide our services. And both of those worlds are the allopathic world as well as the Eastern world. So it's using what we know can be beneficial from chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery, in addition to what we know really does improve our healing through the complementary methods. Again, we respect everyone for the decisions that they make, and our basic philosophy is that use of both of the best of what we call the best of both worlds, which we describe as the integrative component of that.
11:57 here in the Wake Up Call. Last few minutes as we talk about surviving cancer with the folks from Integrative Medicine at UVA. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. And the folks at Blue Ridge Mountain Sports have been with us today, encouraging you to discover the outdoor adventures right on your doorstep at area state and national parks this summer. The staff at your local Blue Ridge Mountain Sports can help you with camping supplies, maps, guides, and even suggestions for excursions. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. They're at Wintergreen and in Richmond on West Broad Street and at the Chesterfield Town Center. I see the phone ringing now. Like, we haven't already been here for 58 minutes. By the way, you can catch this show. We'll be recorded and podcast on SeavillePodcast.com. We should get it up later today or tomorrow. Fire away, Diane.
Okay, I just wanted to say one more thing. You know, Rick, you had talked about the fact that many of these modalities are not covered by insurance. There are billions of dollars that come out of the pockets of our communities each year that go toward these kinds of programs. And a lot of the reason that a lot of cancer centers and medical centers don't have these is because they it is very difficult to make these money-making programs. And I just want to say a great big thank you to the Mary Sims Scripps Fund for Integrative Medicine, which is a philanthropic fund that we have that provides these services to our patients. It would not be possible without that. So I just want to extend that. This is something that is funded by some tremendous community support, and we really appreciate it. It makes a big difference.
Diane Cole, thank you very much. Manager of Education and Support Services at the Cancer Center's Integrative Medicine Group. Chaplain Gordon Putnam. Chaplain, thank you so much for helping put this program together.
You're welcome.
Susan Pohowiak, last comments from you, ma'am. For people listening, whether they are dealing with the cancer or the family members, because it seems that everybody knows someone.
It's difficult. It's very difficult, and it brings out what I found. It can bring out the best and the warmest in mankind, and it's not. It's like anything. It is how much importance you give it, and I wish I could be more profound, but I guess it's not coming.
Well, I think that you're right, because the people sitting next to you, Diane and Chaplain Putnam, identify themselves, as the best.
One thing I would like to add, and I'm looking at the clock, is a patient had said to me early on in this process was that as a patient, rather than think about the illness as mine, look at all the people around me who are putting their lives on the line, helping find a cure, and bringing people peace through this process, whether it's integrative medicine, whether it's the chaplain, whether it's all of the physicians, whether it's the whole community, broadcasters. Everyone is working together to help people heal, and I think that's extraordinary.
We'll end with that. See you next week.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.